John chapter 5, verse 31. Our title of this morning's study is The Five Witnesses of Jesus. Speaking of witness, some of you who have been following the news, you might have heard this guy's name. He's the former Hillary Clinton information technology specialist. His name is Brian Pagliano. Do you think he's a Japanese? Pagliano? Yeah. He's a key witness in a small email probe who struck an immunity deal with the Justice Department, has told the FBI a range of detail about how her personal email system was set up, according to the intelligence source close to the case, who called Pagliano a devastating witness, and his importance to the case cannot be overemphasized. The source said Pagliano told FBI who had access to the former Secretary's of State system, as well as when and what device were used in amounting to the roadmap for the investigators. January 2009, classified information non-disclosure agreement that was signed by the former Secretary Clinton says, that document says that she understood the classified information could be marked and unmarked, as well as a verbal communication. In other words, classification was not done by the marking, rather content. Are you with me? In other words, Hillary Clinton was at a minimum grossly negligent in her handling of national defense information, also known as NDI. Materials merely by her insisting that she utilize private, unsecured server instead of using government-secured server. According to Research Service, NDI is broadly defined to include information that they have a reason to know could be used to harm the national security. Additional information must know is any foreign government sending email to the Secretary of the State is considered classified. Did you get that? By existence, sending email came from foreign government to the Secretary of the State of the United States should be classified, whether it has a marking or not. I guess that Hillary Clinton thought that she is too important to be indicted or she is above the law. Now she has a devastating witness against her. But Jesus brings the five witnesses. Because according to the law of God, you only require two. So he doubled it, and for a good measure, he added one more. And when the Pharisees accused him of being Sabbath commandment breaker, and blasphemer of God by pretending to be one. And we will go over those five key witnesses with the Lord this morning. And you will be the member of juror. And at the end, you have to decide whether what Jesus said is true or not. Are you with me? I know some of you guys hate to be the member of jury. I was one of them. And then I realized it's my civic duty. Is it convenient? No. But is it something we have to do? Yes. If we don't do, other people who think about the law very lightly will destroy the system. All right, let's stop here and pray. Father, we come to you and asking for your wisdom, so that we may understand your word, your holy word, uncompromising word. We want to hear from you through the Holy Spirit. We are not asking to hear, we are not asking you to speak to us and as a man give his own opinion. His opinion doesn't mean anything, but your word means everything to us. Speak to us, that we may understand what these five witnesses are telling us about our Lord Jesus Christ. We want to know more about Jesus, our Savior and Lord. And we pray for the President Obama for his salvation. Whatever it takes for him to come to know Christ, if you have to shake him to the core, please do so, that he may receive Christ. Nothing is impossible for you. Father, we also lift up our troops, law enforcement personnel, and firefighters, especially the one in the harm's way. Protect them as they protect our lives. And we also pray for the upcoming elections. We know that your will be done, and if you're willing, you put the godly man in the places where they make the decisions. We pray all this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. In his mighty name, amen. Verse 31 of chapter 5 in the book of John. It reads, "If I bear witnesses of myself, my witness is not true." Last week we learned that Jesus proclaimed to be a Son of God by saying, "My Father." Pharisees and Sadducees, all these people knew that what it meant. Because Jewish people never called God as my Father. They always called him as our Father. By saying my Father, Jesus proclaimed to be the Son of God, which means he is God himself in verse 17 and 18. However, Jesus knew that his own testimony about himself could not be established due to the law of God through Moses in Deuteronomy chapter 19, verse 15. You might want to jot that thing down. Deuteronomy 19, 15. How many of you guys spelled Deuteronomy correctly? Yeah. Just write the D-U-T. D-E-U-T. And it must be done by the two or three witnesses, and matters shall be established. So Jesus doubled the witness and one extra for the good measure, as I mentioned, providing five witnesses to the religious leaders and presenting an airtight case. We must remember that we can never outdo or outsmart God. If you think that you can make a deal with God and you think, oh yeah, I know he's going to do it this way, I'm going to do it in this, in back, no, he doesn't know. Really? It's like a kid in front of us. Your parents remember that? And you used to do that, right? The word witness is one of the key words in the John's Gospel. It was used 47 times. Did I count it? No, I let the computer count it. So let's get the first witness to the stand, John the Baptist in verse 35. "You have sent to John. He has borne witness to the truth. Yet I do not receive the testimony from men, but I say these things that you may be saved." Verse 35, "He was the burning and the shining lamp, and you were willing for a time to rejoice his light." Jesus called John the Baptist as the first witness to the witness stand. John the Baptist knew who Jesus was as his forerunner, faithfully declared what he knew to the people of Israel. John told the people, Jesus was the Lord and the Lamb of God and the Son of God and the light of the world. Go to John chapter 1. Since we are in the book of John, turn to the left. Chapter 1, verse 23, please. We'll quickly go over three verses. Verse 23, John says, he said, I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, make the straight way of the Lord, as the prophet Isaiah said. Go down to verse 29, please. The next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, behold, what? The Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Go down to verse 34, please. Again, John speaking, I have seen and testified that this is what? Son of God. The Son of God. See, John the Baptist was the burning and shining lamp, and Jesus was the light of the world. We should be the same one, same way. We reflect the light of the world to the unbelievers. Yet because of a shallow spiritual depth of the people, they ignored John's divinely appointed message about the Savior and did not repent, nor they choose to comprehend. Second witness, this time is a miraculous work of Jesus in verse 36 of chapter 5. But I have a greater witness than John's, for the works which the Father has given me to finish, the very works that I do bear witness of me that the Father has sent me. Okay, guys, we use the word miracle a lot. Anything, something good happen, well, it's a miracle. It's not. True definition of a miracle is this. A miracle is a supernatural intervention of God in which he interrupts the natural laws for his own sovereign purpose. In other words, if you can explain how it was done, it is not a miracle. Are you with me? Gravity. If I drop this book, it stops. But somehow, for God's sovereign purpose, if I drop this, it hangs in the middle of the air without anybody's holding it. Then it would be a miracle because it interrupts a natural law. Are you with me on that? Don't call just about anything as a miracle. And it is rare when it happens. The result is immediate and complete and no waiting period, no halfway done. When God heals people, he heals. Period. It's not like, okay, God healed you, but you need to go see a doctor. Yeah, you need to go see a doctor so that your doctor who told you that it's not going to happen, and he will say, blah, 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 blah. They cannot explain. Please don't think that the Lord should perform miracles to bring the unbelievers to himself. Remember, the Israelites left Egypt, heading to the promised land, and they wandered around all over for 40 years. They had the manna coming from heaven. They had the water coming out from this rock out of nowhere in the middle of the desert. And their shoes did not wear out. Sorry, ladies, you cannot buy another pair of shoes. And their clothes was not wearing out. Those people, because they choose not to believe, they died in the wilderness. All the freshly dig out the graves, freshly made graves on the barren hills, windswept hills, they were the evidence of their unbelief. Did they not have enough miracle? Yes, they had a miracle every day. How about this one? The Judas. He was with Jesus. He saw Jesus feeding 5,000 with his own eyes. He was the part of 12 handing out fish and bread and multiplying in his own hand. Yet, he betrayed Jesus. Was the miracle not good enough for him? Obviously not. They didn't trust God. You have to wonder if the religious leaders of Jesus' time ever have noticed his miracle. Yes, they did. But they chose to get this. This is the point. They chose to ignore them because it didn't fit in with their idea of Messiah's miracle. What would be their idea of Messiah's miracle? One person on the white horse with a sword killing all these Roman soldiers and freeing them from the iron fist of Rome. That would be their idea. Not the one who is telling people kingdom of God will come, but I must die first. Huh? You don't try to fit your God's work into your idea. We cannot comprehend His work. Third witness, Father God Himself. Verse 32. There is another, I want you to underline, highlight, circle, I don't care what you do, make a note. Another who bear witness of me. I know that the witness which he witnesses of me is true. Go down to verse 37. And the Father himself who sent me has testified of me. You have neither heard his voice at any time nor seen his form. But you do not have his word abiding in you, because whom he sent him you do not believe. Did you get that? If you don't believe Jesus Christ, you don't have the word of God the Father. Jesus called the third witness to the stand, God the Father himself. Let's go back to verse 32. I ask you to underline the word another. In English word, this is just another word. It's, well, yeah, we don't get it. But if you look at the Greek word, it gives a more flavor, true meaning of it. Let me explain. It's not like you have a choice. Notice how Jesus, you introduced the Father. There is another. The word in Greek word, another, is alas, which means another of the same kind. Heteros is another of the different kinds. Of course, we get the heterosexual. That means man and biological man, biological woman, not the one who thought that they can be transferred to somebody else. In our bylaw, we have to literally specify biological man and biological woman wedding. That's a sad, isn't it? In light of this distinction of the meaning, Jesus was pointing to his Father in heaven as another of the same kind as himself, myself, which leads to the Jesus' unique unity with the Father. You follow me? Same kind, another of the same kind. I ask you to note the word bear witness. Greek word for this is martyria. I know it's a mouthful. Greek tense is present. Not past, it's present, which indicates the continual action. Father continually testified to the claims of Jesus Christ. At his birth, at Jesus' birth, Father announced the arrival of the through the prophet, angels, and miraculous star that followed, that lead the wise people. And Jesus' baptism, Father declared, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." Right? In Matthew 3. And later determined that his own testimony at the Mount of Transfiguration in Matthew 17. When Peter was, "This is good that we are here." And he probably God the Father said, "Shut up, Pete." And now the Father declared his Son, Jesus, through the word of the Bible. Now, I'd like all of you to go back to verse 38. But you do not have his word abiding in you. Jesus speaking to the Pharisees. because whom you, he sent, him you do not believe. These rulers are guilty because they do not abide in the scripture. Do they read the word of God? Yes. They know it like a back of their hand. God gave them. And this brings a very important point for all of us to take heed. It is worse, get it, listen to me. It is worse for a believer to know the word, read the Bible, and pray to the God, the Father, and every day, and not do what it says, than unbeliever who do not know the word of God, do the things they normally do, sin. In other words, because you know the word of God, you should know better, and you do things, now you are responsible. If you are ignorant, the word of God, sinner sins, right? They do normal things, like a dog barks. Sometimes I like to strangle my neighbor's dog. Is that your dog? I can tell some of you thinking, that's preacher, that's why I don't read the Bible every day. That's why I don't read, pray every day, so I'm not, wouldn't be responsible. Isn't that a good idea? No. How about this? Read the Bible every day, not once in a blue moon, and you pray to the Lord every day, ask you to guide you, ask Him to guide you so that you may walk with Him. That's what the followers of Jesus Christ are supposed to do. Don't call upon Him because you are in that deep kimchi again. In case you don't know what the kimchi is, it's a rotten cabbage. You don't want to smell it. It's a Korean food. I know, the sun is about to kill me. No, see what I mean? All right, the false witness, the word of God, in verse 39. You search the scripture, for in them you think you have eternal life. These are they which testify of me, that you are now willing to come to me that you may have life. Verse 41, I do not receive honor from that man, but I know you, that you do not have the love of God in you. Do you think God is Jesus is kind of rather blunt here? Yeah. 43, I have come in my Father's name, and you do not receive me. If any another comes in his own name, him you will receive. How can you believe who receive honor from one another and do not seek the honor that comes from the only God? Stop there. One time I was listening to one of my favorite teachers, Chuck Swindoll. To me, he's my mentor. He doesn't know me from Adam. If he passed by me, he would not even look at me. But he said this in one of his sermons. He's the chancellor of the Dallas Theological Seminary. And he heard one of the graduates of the seminary said this: when I came to Dallas Theological Seminary, I was in love with Jesus. As I graduate, I'm in love with the text. Text of the word. In other words, his love for God transferred to the just text. In other words, he lost his first love. Never should we do that kind of thing. If you don't have a love of God and you know this inside and out, you miss the point. Nothing wrong with the expository study. You guys know this. I love this. I love expository study. But you can do that. Expository study. You know the Greek word. You can know the Hebrew word. All of that still miss the whole point. That's what the Pharisees did. They know every letter of the Bible, of the Old Testament scripture. They missed the God the Father. They missed the Son of God. They couldn't even recognize who he was. How sad it is for those Jewish religious leaders to know the Word of God, but they did not know the God of the Word. As I said, they knew every letter of the text, but they totally missed the spiritual truths that Scripture contained and pointed to. It's been said, it is not important how much you go through the Bible, but how much Bible go through your life and heart. This Jewish religious leader's selfish and prideful attitude toward God's word hindered their faith in him, but also did their attitude toward themselves and one another. They enjoyed being honored by men and did not seek to honor the Lord. Time to time, I see a vehicle that says on the front license plate, it says Reverend. When I see that kind of thing, I get all these bumps on my skin and I get all choked up and about to have a seizure. Why? First of all, why call yourself Reverend? There's only one Reverend being, that is God, not human. We are sinful human who needs God desperately. And why do you need to tell other people that you are clergy? Am I different than you? No. I'm just a sinner like you. I happen to be called to preach the word, but I got more responsibility than you do. I'll stand in the presence of God with a harsher judgment than you will, because I know the word better. I should know better and do this, not to do stupid things. Do I do it? Yeah. So, is it necessary to tell other people so that I can get an honor from other people? No, I'd rather not. When people ask me, I tell them, yeah, I'm a pastor. But I do not tell people, I'm a Reverend Junho Kim. Who cares? This time I would like to draw your attention to verse 43. I have come in my Father's name, and you do not receive me. If another comes in his own name, him you receive. Because they reject the true Son of God who came in the Father's name, they would one day accept the false Messiah, the Antichrist. Not just any Antichrist, the Antichrist, who would come in his own name. Go to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, please. Verse 3. Let no one deceive you by any means, for that day will not come unless the falling away comes first. Falling away, then the one who walking away from God, the faith in God. The man of sin is revealed, the son of perdition, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he sits as God in the temple. This is known as abomination of desolation, right smack dab in the middle of the tribulation, and showing himself that he is God. Do you not remember that when I was still with you, I told you these things. Apostle Paul speaking to the people in the Thessalonica. Jesus prophesied in the coming day when Jewish people will, and for a temporary time, embrace the Antichrist who comes in his own name. Anytime, listen to me please, anytime a person rejects Jesus, it leaves them open to the tremendous deception from Satan. Did you get that? Whenever you reject Jesus, you leave a vacancy in your heart to be deceived. If you have a chance to ask a messianic question to any Orthodox Jews, you know, one of those people with the curly sideburns, If you ask them, how would you know the Messiah, the real Messiah comes? Do you know what they say? They will say, the Messiah will come, make a peace in the Middle East. And they will, this person will build a temple on the Temple Mount for us. Guess what? The Antichrist will do exactly. The Antichrist is a diplomat, a world leader, who can put a square peg into the round hole. How is that possible? He has a silver tongue. And then he will declare that I will build the temple on the Temple Mount, and the Muslims will say, okie dokie. I don't know how they say okie dokie in Arab. See? Is that how you say? Okay, see. And they will know that he is the Messiah. No wonder they get sucked in hook, line, and sinker. Now, fifth witness, Moses. Verse 45. Are you following me so far? Yes. Do you want me to explain from the beginning? No. Okay. Do not think that I shall accuse you to the Father. There is one who accuses you, Moses, in whom you trust. Did you get that? In whom you trust. In whom you put your faith in. For if you believe Moses, you would believe me, for he wrote about me. But if you do not believe his writings, how will you believe my words? You know, Jesus' word is so logical. You cannot argue with him. See, the trump card, Jesus' trump card, not that the other trump, Jesus pulled the ace out of his deck, the Jewish heroes. You know, all this deck of the faces, Moses. Why Moses? Because like Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, Moses was the one of the founding father of the Hebrew nation. And as a matter of fact, he was revered. He was admired. He was respected like no other people. When did Moses write about Jesus? Since you asked, go to Deuteronomy chapter 18. Fifth book from the beginning of the Old Testament. Deuteronomy chapter 18, verse 15. The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from your midst. From your brethren, him you shall hear, according to all you desire of the Lord your God in Horeb, in the day of the assembly, saying, let me not hear again the voice of the Lord my God. Let me see this great fire anymore, lest I die. Folks, the first idol of the Israelites who wandered around the wilderness was not the golden calf. It was Moses. Do you know that? It was Moses. Today, Orthodox Jews still hold Moses in the place of more reverence than God himself, as they did in the time of Jesus. How do I come to this conclusion? Go to Jude, verse 9. Jude is another half-brother of Jesus. Yet Michael the archangel, in contending with the devil, this is extra-biblical fact that we didn't see anywhere else, when he disputed about the body of Jesus, dare not bring against him reviling accusation, but said, the Lord rebuke you. Body of Moses. See, devil clearly understood. If he can bring the body of Moses and show it to the Israeli people and say, okay, here's Moses, guess what the Israeli would do? Worship that dead body, decayed body, instead of one true God. Satan would do anything to distract your faith in Jesus, away from Jesus, to something else. whether it's a Bible study, as important as a Bible study, your gift for the kingdom of God, if your gift is more important than your own personal relationship with Jesus Christ, that becomes idol. Do you understand? If your relationship with your spouse, your children, you put them before God, now you have an idol. Or the shining thing in your garage or carport. You spend more time with that shiny object than you spend time with God. Now you have an idol. How can we be sure? Jesus was a prophet that referred by Moses. Well, what's the best way to interpret the Bible? Use the Bible, right? Go to Acts chapter 3. Peter, Apostle Peter, speaking to the Jewish people in at the Solomon's porch in the temple. Acts chapter 3, verse 18, please. Since you're wondering, what are you talking about? Let's read. But those things which God foretold by the mouth of all his prophets, that the Christ would suffer, he has thus fulfilled. Repent therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, so that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. Verse 20, that he may send Jesus Christ, who was preached to you before, whom heaven must receive until the times of restoration of all things, which God has spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. For who? Moses truly said to the fathers, the Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from the brethren. Him you shall fear in all things, whatever he say to you, and it shall be that every soul who will not hear the prophet shall be utterly destroyed among all people. Is that good enough explanation for you? Yes. All right. Jesus presents to you five witnesses. You as a juror, member of jurors, you need to make a verdict. Serious choice, folks. The witness has carefully chosen. Each has taken a stand. And defense of Jesus was systematically delivered. Now the defense rests. As a matter of fact, as a member of jury, you must deliberate. You weigh their testimonies. It's a sovereign decision. Because the verdict you reach about Jesus Christ is a serious one. It's quite literally life and death. It's your life and death. If you say yes, Jesus Christ is the Savior and Lord. It's one thing to admit, it's another thing to put that in your heart. If you receive Jesus into your heart as your Savior and Lord, now you have eternal life through Him. If you say, yeah, Jesus Christ is the Savior and Lord, but I don't want him today. Maybe mañana. Remember what I said? Whenever you reject God, you leave yourself a room for deception to come in from who? Satan. You make a choice right here, right now. You may say, I'm not going to do that right now. Guess what? You may not have a later time. Now is the time. Today is the day of your salvation.